Well, I appreciate that good song. Nobody can remind us of things the way that the Lord can. He can sure get our attention. I want to ask you to turn with me, if you would, to the 8th chapter of Acts. I want to read some verses from Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. I certainly ask for your prayers today. Acts chapter 8, beginning with the 26th verse. This is the account of Philip and his encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That's finishing that 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles for a scripture reading. There's two things that I want to notice in here. And I want to use today for a title something that is taken from the Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. The Apostle Paul wrote these instructions to the church at Thessalonica. He said, Quench not the Spirit. And that's what I would like to use for a title today, Quench Not the Spirit. And what that means, it's actually in the original Greek, that word, the Greek word from which that English word quench was taken, it can mean do not extinguish the Spirit of God. Don't try to put it out. And it can also mean do not hinder the work, do not hinder the operation of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want you to keep that in mind as we think about this. Quench not the Spirit. In the verses that I have read to you, the Bible tells us in the 29th verse that it was the Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit of God that told Philip that he was to go near and join himself to this eunuch's chariot. So the Spirit led Philip to that man. And then it tells us in the 39th verse that after that Philip had heard his profession and baptized this eunuch, that it was the Spirit of the Lord that caught him or that led him away, led him somewhere else. Now, I want to talk for a little while about the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us in both Matthew chapter 4 in the first verse and Luke chapter 4 in the first verse, the Bible tells us there that when Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, that he was led of the Spirit. I believe it was Matthew that says he was led up of the Spirit, and Luke recorded that he was led of the Spirit. But it was the Holy Spirit that impressed upon Jesus and led him know that he was to go into the wilderness to face this temptation. And the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit was something that Jesus promised to the church while he was with them on the earth and before he ascended back to heaven to be with God. In fact, before he had ever gone to the cross, Jesus promised his church that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, that she would receive the leadership and the empowering and the unction of the Holy Spirit. He promised this to the church. And if you look in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to John, Jesus even told the church that when the Holy Spirit would come, that he would guide them into all truth, that the Holy Spirit would lead them and would be their guide. And so we find the fulfillment of that promise when we read in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We find God fulfilling his promise and keeping his promise like he does with all of his promises. God keeps every promise that he makes. And so we find him keeping that promise and fulfilling that promise when they met there at Pentecost, when they met there and the Spirit came upon them as a rushing mighty wind from heaven. And fulfilled that promise, Jesus had instructed his church, and you find this recorded in the account of the Great Commission according to Luke, and I believe the 24th chapter of Luke, but Jesus had instructed his church that they were not to leave Jerusalem until they had received this great power. He said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye have been endued with power from on high." And so he promised them that they would receive the Holy Spirit, but he told them, don't even go out and begin to spread out until that has come. And so he told them to wait there in Jerusalem until he fulfilled that promise. And when the Spirit came up on the church there, I believe that ever since then, the Lord's church has been able to benefit from that because we have had the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And you know, when Jesus was speaking to the churches there in the first three chapters of the Revelation, when Jesus was speaking to the churches and he was reminding them, he was telling them of ways that they had fallen off, things that they were doing, that things that they had got into and things that they had left behind that they never should have, and was rebuking those churches for some of the things that they had been guilty of. He said multiple times, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, you know, we need to be, as a church, we always need to strive to be close enough to the Lord and be in tune with the Lord to where we will hear the Spirit of the Lord talking to us, don't we? I mean, it's very important that we have that, because God knows what we need. He knows that far more than what we do. God knows what we need. And so, as Jesus said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So I'm very thankful as we read here in the eighth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when with Philip, and this was after that this great persecution had arose against the church at Jerusalem, and they were scattered, and they that were scattered, the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the word, and they had, obviously, from what we read here with Philip, that they had access to the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And so there was a voice, there was a mystical voice, there was a great voice that spoke to Philip and told him what he was to do, that he was to go there to that chariot and that he was to witness there and preach to that Ethiopian eunuch that didn't know, that could not understand the prophecy that he was reading. And so Philip, under the leadership of God, he went to him and he took the very scriptures that were confusing him and he preached Jesus unto him, because that's who Isaiah the prophet was talking about. He was talking about Jesus in those prophecies. You know, the Apostle Paul believed that the most important element in the preaching of the Word of God was the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And that's still true today. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as he wrote that epistle to them and was telling them and was reminding them of his labors when he was among them, he said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And why was that? Why was it? Why did Paul feel like that was so important? Why was it so important that his preaching would be accompanied by the Spirit of God, and that would be more important than him using big words or enticing words? Well, he said, "So that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And he wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he was reminding them of when he was among them preaching. And he said, "Our gospel came unto you not in word only, but in the Holy Ghost and in power and with much assurance." And it's still, that's still today the only effective preaching that there is. What makes it effective in our hearts? It's the Holy Spirit that works in the truth and makes it effective in our hearts. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe a sermon of truth. And listen, if the Holy Spirit of God is in a sermon, you can bet that you're hearing the truth. Because the Holy Spirit will not bear witness to anything but the truth. He does not bear witness to heresy. He does not bear witness to lies. He will bear witness to the truth and only the truth. And so I believe certainly that a message that is preached, listen, if it's the truth, even if it's not presented the best, is far better than a message with many fancy elaborate words if it's not the truth and not accompanied by the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord is of great importance among us. And we don't need to quench the Spirit because we're in trouble if God doesn't see among us that which pleases Him to the point that He will manifest His Spirit and His power among us. Then we're going to be in trouble, aren't we? We're really not going to know what direction to go without the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to pause for a moment right now in this, and I want to give God thanks for something, because I grew up among people just like you. I grew up among people that worshiped just like Fairview Memorial worships today. I grew up among people and in churches where people believed that it was important for us in our individual lives, and that it was important for us when we gathered in our assemblies to have the leadership of the Holy Spirit among us. Listen, I went one time, I went to a service one time many years ago. I went to this service with this assembly of people, and when I walked in the door, and I'll explain here in just a moment, I'm not trying to degrade anybody, but I'm just telling you the facts today. When I walked in the door, they handed me a program. And in that program, I opened it, and it had down that what time they would sing this song and what time they would do this and do this and do this. And, you know, that was up to them if that's what they chose to do. But I'm telling you, it's not for me. It's not for me. And I sat through that, and they went, and everything was done just exactly like they had it planned. And it was over, and everybody left. I just didn't feel the moving of the Lord at all. I believe we ought to let Him orchestrate our services. I believe when we assemble ourselves together, we ought to yield right away to the leadership of the Spirit of God and let Him have His way with us. Because God knows what we need to hear. And I'll tell you what, God knows today, those that are here today and lost and without God, if there's something that God would have them to hear that would be helpful to them, God knows how to lead the person that He would choose to say it. He does. I'll tell you what, there's been a lot of people that have been touched through the years. Even though the preacher stands before the congregation and preaches the message, let me tell you something, there's been a lot of souls that have been moved. There's been a lot of hearts that have been touched by God putting it on the heart of one of His children to testify of something that just made heaven come down and move the hearts of those who are lost God knows what we need today. And so these people that I grew up among, listen, many of them were not really, and I'm talking about from a worldly standpoint, a lot of them were not very educated people, not by the standards of the world. A lot of them didn't have, a lot of them hadn't even finished high school. They did not have a lot of advanced education, but there was something that they knew that made them very wise. They understood how important that it was for the people of God to be in touch with the Lord and to be led of the Spirit of God and to realize that it's God that can touch the lives of people and not man. I'm telling you this from experience. I'm telling you this because it happened to me. And I know this, that when I was just a boy, when I sat among those people of God, and the Word of God would be preached, and the Spirit would move up on their hearts, and they would obey that, and they would listen oftentimes to what God had told them to do. And there were times when God directed those people, when I was lost, that He moved up on their hearts by the Holy Spirit of God to come to me, to talk to me about my sinful condition. And I'm telling you that as I sat among them, there was an invisible force. There was somebody that I wasn't able to see with my natural eye that was working through those people. And it had an effect upon my young heart. And I knew when I was just a young boy, I knew that the Lord was dealing with me, that He was speaking to me. Listen, how would we really know in our lives? Think back to your youth. How would you have really known that you needed a Savior? How would you have really known that you were lost and separated from God? How would you have really known that you had the need of salvation if it had not been for the working of the Holy Spirit of God upon your heart? You know who revealed to me that I was lost? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit let me know. It wasn't a preacher. It wasn't a deacon. It wasn't anybody in the church. It wasn't anybody that walked up to me one day and said, listen, you've now reached a point in your life where you're lost and you need to seek the Lord and be saved. No, it was God. It was God dealing with my spirit. It was the Holy Spirit speaking to my spirit that made it known to me that I was lost, that I needed to be saved, that I was separated from God. And when I got saved, it was the Holy Spirit that told me that I was saved. Amen. Nobody else could have done that. Nobody else could see that part of me. Nobody else could see my soul. Nobody else could know when I repented to God for my sins and placed my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else could have known what happened in there because they couldn't see it. The Bible tells us that the best that man can do is to look on the outward appearance. But God looks upon the heart. And so, how important is it, church? How important is it that God is pleased to manifest His power among us? You know, there's one thing that I read in the Scriptures. There's one thing that the Holy Ghost will allow when people choose to do it, you know what he will allow? He will allow people to resist him. You know, he wants us to choose, doesn't he? He doesn't force us into obedience. He wants us to choose obedience. Stephen once spoke to a group of non-believers, and he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." God's grace, listen, God's grace is powerful, and God's grace is sufficient, but he does not make it irresistible. He will allow us, if we choose to, he will allow us to resist and to not obey. He'll give us that choice, but we'll suffer for it if we do. The Holy Spirit is a leader. You know what the Bible says? When you're studying the Scriptures, when you're trying to understand God's Word, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. And I'll tell you what, there in this great book, in these great Scriptures that God gave us, there's nobody that can lead you into the truth. There's nobody that can help you rightly divide the word of truth. There's nobody that can guide you and give you the answer like the Holy Spirit of God can. He's the greatest teacher that the world has ever known. And so, to think, and I want you to think about this, to think that we could hinder the work of God, to think that we could quench the Spirit. If it weren't possible, there would have been no need for Paul to instruct the church at Thessalonica in that way, would there? If it were not possible to quench the Spirit, if it were not possible for us to disrupt the operation of God, then there would have been no need for the Scriptures to ever warn us not to do it. And so we must choose to be obedient and not quench the Spirit of God. Do you believe that when we gathered here today in this assembly this morning, do you believe that God has something that he wants to do? I'll tell you one thing, God is not, he's not arbitrary. He doesn't do anything unless it has a purpose behind it. And he has things here today, no doubt, that he would accomplish. And he'll use us. He will use us. His Holy Spirit, just like he used Philip, his Holy Spirit will lead us and use us and direct us and tell us what he would have us to do. And listen, know this, that when the Holy Spirit of God moves upon your heart to testify, when the Holy Spirit of God moves upon your heart to sing, when the Holy Spirit of God is moving the preacher to preach, it's all important. It's all important. Don't ever say, well, I don't think I'll give that testimony because it's really not that big of a deal. No, if God's telling you to do it, it's important. Amen. He's got a reason for leading you in that direction. I believe that last week, I thought about this. I believe last week when Sister Laura was up here singing, that the Spirit of God was with her. Amen. She wasn't doing that by herself. The Spirit of the Lord was with her. And you know, sometimes it does different things. Sometimes the Spirit of God causes us to rejoice to the point that we just can't contain our actions in this mortal body, doesn't it? I've seen people, I know you have, I've seen people just lose it, just begin to shout the praises of God. And I'll tell you what, they were not just sitting there saying, well, I think it's time for me to shout now. No, the Spirit of God sometimes just fills our cup up. It's got to come out somewhere. We've got to rejoice. We've got to rejoice. Sometimes it comes out in people's shouts. Sometimes it comes out in their testimonies. Sometimes it comes out in song. But listen, the Holy Spirit of God in our services and yielding right away to Him and letting God have His way in the service is of extreme importance among us if we're going to reach lost souls and if we're going to please the Lord. We can't quench the Spirit of God and please the Lord. This service today is not mine. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. I didn't come here to worship you, and you didn't come here to worship me. We came here together to worship the Lord, didn't we? And sometimes we quench the Spirit of God because we just let things overtake our minds and our hearts and fester, and the cares of this world choke the things of God, and we need to just let go and let the Lord have His way with us. Have you ever sat through a church service and your mind just all messed up with worldly thoughts? You ever done that? You ever sat through a church service and you're thinking about something that's going to happen tomorrow with your job or something? Letting the world just control your thoughts to where you don't even hear the Master's voice. I think we do that, don't you? I do. The Lord will lead us. He'll guide us, folks. We know that's true. I've seen it all my life among these old missionary Baptist people, these missionary Baptist churches. He will lead us. He will guide us. We've just got to listen to what He says and obey. And obey His leadership. Brother Strode, if you would, let's have a song.